morning, everybody. Great to see you here on this nice rainy day. Please stand and join us in worship and singing, "Thine is the Glory." Stand with us.
To Comanathus Church, and we're glad you're with us this morning. Just a few reminders that in the back we do have the order of worship, the song sheets, if you want to follow along, the song sheets in your hands, as well as the weekly announcements of what's going on here, so please take them, as well as when you leave out in the credenza and the Welcome Center are some different things too of what's going on here at Comanathus Church. Also, want to remind you of our community meal, 5:45 this Wednesday. We had a great time last week, and you'll hear more about that later on in the service. And it's open to everybody, all ages. So if you don't have kids, you don't have teens, come anyway. It's not just for families of kids and teens. It's for everybody, and we love to have you. And this Wednesday night, right after the community meal, we'll have a kids' connection for ages 4 through 5th grade. So that'll be right after the meal at 6:30 to 7:30. And we'll also have youth group from 6:30 to 7:30 as well after the meal. So we would love to have you join us on Wednesday night as we come together and we fellowship with one another. We also just want to continue to let you know that we appreciate all your giving to Columbia Methodist Church to make things happen, like the dinner on Wednesday night, and youth group, and the children's programs, and for the worship service that goes on. So thank you for all that you're doing with your giving to continue to let us operate as a church. So let us come together and let us pray this morning as we prepare our hearts for worship. Lord God Almighty, we come now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are. We ask, God, that you would just be with us now in your house of worship, that you would prepare our hearts and minds, God, that we would be able to hear you speak to us today. And so, God, we come now and we give you ourselves. And as we come, we say thank you for all you've done. And so, Lord, here we are now. Hear our praises. Amen. Let us continue to worship.
Our first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God.
Read to tell and love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy.
from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah.
Yes, Lord, that's why we're here today, because you love us and we're in your house of worship this morning, and we proclaim that message that you love us. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. What a perfect tie-in to continue our sermon series that we began last week on how God is love, and how we'll be looking at the fact of how God's love can change us. We came together last Sunday and we celebrated Easter together, the wonderful resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because Easter Sunday showed us that Jesus gave us victory over sin and death, and it is proof that He is King of Kings and He is Lord of Lords. Today we're going to continue in that theme of God's love, and we're going to be talking about today how God's love can overcome our past because of what Jesus did on the cross and because of Him resurrecting Himself from the dead, that God's love can shape our past, and our past has no control. I don't know about you, but many people sometimes think that their past shapes their future, that their past and what they've done in the past will determine what happens to them in the future. And it can be a very heavy burden for people to bear. A very heavy burden for people to bear by living in their past, by dwelling in their past, by looking at their past mistakes and wondering, is there any hope for them? Is there any future for them? Because they feel their past is going to determine their future. It can weigh us down. And let's be honest, some decisions we've made in the past, they're honest mistakes. Honest mistakes. And there are some decisions in our past that have had consequences that we've had to deal with in our lives. Sometimes we might still be dealing with those consequences of those bad decisions. But you see, we cannot change our past. We can't go back as much as we want to in a time machine and say, you know what, if I had to do it all over again, this is what I would do, and now let me go back and correct it and do it the way it should have been done. We can't change what has already happened. However, what we can do is be assured that our past and the things of our past does not determine our present or our future. Those things are in the past. We look at the fact of, throughout the Bible, especially the Gospels, of individuals who had a very shadowy past. And when you begin to look at the Gospels, and you begin to look at these individuals that had a shadowy past. Think about Matthew, the tax collector. He was a Jew working for the Roman government, collecting taxes from his own people, but yet Jesus said, Matthew, come and follow me. We look at the fact of the other disciples, and we look at Peter and how Peter kind of was a fisherman, but yet he struggled. And if you've kind of been interesting as I've been watching The Chosen, I don't know if any of you have been watching that or not, but it's interesting the take they do on Peter, and you get a new kind of insight on Peter, that Peter was an individual who might have been maybe the best man, as he sometimes made deals that were in the interest of himself to save his own skin. That sometimes he didn't seem to care about other people, but yet Jesus said, Peter, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We find that the New Testament reminds us of the transforming power that Jesus has. We speak of the transfiguration when Jesus goes on Mount Transfiguration and he is transformed. And it says that Moses and Elijah were beside him that day. And that same power that was given to him on Mount Transfiguration is the same power that transforms lives, that transformed the disciples' lives, that will transform our lives here today. Then we place our trust in Jesus, that we are forgiven. But not only are we forgiven, that we are made new. That is something I think that we really don't grasp as Christians. That we are made new, which means the past is gone, God forgets it, and He wants to do something new in us. That it doesn't matter what the past has been like, He is ready here today to start something new within each and every one of us, as well as within our church. That it doesn't matter what's happened before, that God has come to begin something new in us. Paul speaks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, as Deb read earlier, that he begins, Paul, about bragging about God's amazing love for you and for me. And he says, therefore, it's because of God's love that you and I are a new creation, that we have a new beginning. It is because of God's love that our church can have a new beginning. Did you know that we are able to have that new beginning because of being in Christ? And that term, being in Christ, is used some 216 times in all of Paul's writings, reminding us that if we truly are in Christ and we've embraced Christ in our lives, then we are a new creation, and God continues every day to do something new through us and in us, because every day we're being changed and made as a new person. You see, the old has gone, the new has come. The love of God not only removes all of our sin, but it removes our shame and our guilt. It removes our failures from the past and the present. It removes our mistakes that we've made, and it makes us new. A new beginning, a clean slate. That every day you and I wake up, we have a new beginning. That what happened the day before is gone. It doesn't matter. That every day is a new day, a blank slate in which God wants to do something new in us. That God wants to allow His love to be reigning in us. See, God is a God of a second, a third, and a fourth, and a fifth chance. That God continually is there every day to say, it's over, it's done. What's in the past is in the past. And every day, no matter how many times we mess up, no how many times we deny Christ by the actions that we might do, no how many times we might put God on the shelf, no many how many times we fall on our faces in our Christian life, God picks us up and gives us another chance so that we continue to be made new again in our lives. I know this. I went to a Christian school all my life, from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade. We had Bible every single day. We had, remember, catechisms. We had Bible stories. I had to take Bible classes when I was in junior high and in high school. It's part of the curriculum. I mean, Bible, I was there. It was every single day of my life. And then I went to church on Sunday with my parents. And I can tell you that being in a Christian school and going to church doesn't make you a Christian, folks, because it didn't make me a Christian. I knew what to say. I knew how to get around it. I knew what the teachers were looking for, their answers. I knew how to behave on a Sunday morning, because I knew if I didn't behave a certain way, that I'd get home and I'd be in trouble with my mom and my dad. See, I knew what to do, how to act. I knew how to put on a good performance for people, that they always thought, boy, he's a good Christian kid. But I wasn't. I was a rebellious kid. I was an individual that began to rebel. I got into, in the 80s, the metal, heavy metal scene, began to listen to those groups that don't really have good messages. The messages that tell you, you know, to defy your parents, rebel, to do everything that you're not supposed to do. And then I began to fight with my parents nonstop. I began to curse. I began to live a life of, I don't care, leave me alone. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want with it. All while being around the Christian scene, folks. At one point, I got very depressed. And my parents were very concerned for me for several weeks, because a girl I was dating broke up with me, and I thought she was my life. And once she broke up with me, I sank into a deep depression. I didn't know what to do. I remember that God gave me a second chance, and He got a hold of me my junior year. And as a speaker came and spoke at our chapels that we had every day of the week, that God got a hold of me and I accepted Him in my life, and He changed me. And it was on a mission trip in Brazil, right before my senior year of high school, that God placed a call on my life to be in ministry. You see, God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. There have been many ups and downs in my life, in my relationship with God. But God has dusted me off, God has picked me up, and God has said, okay, let's try this again. And God has helped me move forward. I think you guys have lived that with me in the past year and a half with my personal life and things that have been going on in my personal life. That there was a time when, back when I 2019, December, when I got the news of the divorce, that my world was shaken. It was turned upside down. I didn't know what to do. I began to wonder which side was up. I didn't know how it was going on. And God then, once again, got a hold of me and said, "It's okay. I'm a God of second chances." And he picked me up and he dusted me off. And he said, "You know what? Look around you. Look at your church family. Look how they support you and are praying for you and encouraging you. Get up. Pick yourself up. Your past doesn't define you. This moment does not define who you are. This moment does not define how I see you." And as a result, God is a God of second chances, in which that he gave me a second chance, a new life once again. A second chance with a better relationship with my boys. A second chance at marriage once again with a very wonderful woman that God brought into my life, a Melody. And having a second chance of enjoying life again. Having a second chance of enjoying ministry. Having a second chance of just saying, "God, thank you for reminding me my past isn't going to shape my future." Millie and I were talking yesterday, and the conversation I was having with her was, I said, "You know, I really hope that things from the past really don't begin to shape some of the things for the future." And she looked at me and she said, "You know, you can change how the present and the future goes, because the things of the past are in the past." You see, we forget those things, don't we? Just like yesterday when I forgot those things, that my past doesn't define me. That mistakes that might have been made don't define me in the past. But I can control what happens in the present and the future. I can let my past define me, or I can say, "No, this is a fresh start, and that I can do things different this time around." You see, that's the gift that God gives us, of saying, "You can do things differently this time around if you choose to." God comes into our life and he says, "Yes, your past is there, but remember it no more. It's not going to shape you. Your sins are forgiven." That God replaces those things, and those things are replaced with new and better things. And God gives us joy and peace and happiness because he makes us a new creation. You see, though, we cannot be a new creation if we're holding on to things of the past. If we continue to look back to our past and we continue to say, "Oh man, that, why did I do that?" If we continue to allow our past shape us, then God cannot make us a new creation. We have to let go of the past. We have to let God remove all that pain, all those scars, all the mistakes that we made, to renew our hearts and our minds so that we can be new again. Our past does not control our present or our future, because God makes us new. God is interested in not only making us new again, but he's interested in making the entire world new again. He doesn't want anybody in this world to be weighed down by their past. He wants them to experience Jesus' resurrection and the newness of life that God can give. And therefore, as Paul continued to share in 2 Corinthians, he said that you and I, we have a responsibility, that we are ambassadors who need to go and implore to others and tell others about the hope that Christ gives. But you see, folks, a love for God is better caught than taught. Did you catch that? A love for God is better caught than taught. You can come to church every Sunday and you can learn it in community groups. You can learn it through the songs we sing. You can hear the pastor every week talk about God's love, and he can teach it, and the people in Sunday school classes can teach it. But God's love is better caught than taught, folks. Why? Because people want to see God's love lived out in you and me. They don't just want to hear about it, they want to see it in action. You see, people can tell all day long whether or not we walk or talk. Whether or not we're living in our past, or whether or not we're allowing God to do new things in our life. That's the joy that comes from following God, is a freedom that we have. Statistics tell us that 93% of our communication is nonverbal, meaning the fact that we can say things all we want to, we're blue in the face, but 93% of our communication is actually what we do with our bodies. And people read that. If we say we're Christian and we say we're renewed and we're changed, but yet our body language says something totally different, that's what people are going to say. That's what people are going to cling to, and they're going to say, you really don't mean what you believe because I'm watching your body language and I'm watching how you live your life. And so I'm sorry, but you know what? Your talk's not matching your walk. Remember my senior year of high school that I was co-chaplain with a friend of mine as part of our senior class, and he asked me if I would get up instead of him because he didn't like speaking in front of people, because part of being the chaplain was that you had to go and speak in front of the 9th through 12th grade classes. And I remember as I began to prepare for that, to get up in front and talk to all the 9th graders and all the teachers from 9th grade to 12th grade, all the kids that were there, what was I going to say? What was I going to do? I remember as I worked with my youth pastor, he said, you know what, the one question that you were struggling with is the same question that everybody is struggling with that's sitting there in that chapel. And he said, it's what am I here for? What is my purpose? And then, I don't remember the passage from Romans specifically, but I remember talking from Romans and sharing about how Jesus can transform our lives and that our purpose is to have a relationship with God. And I remember telling them, you know, that, you know, you like me, you're probably going to school for all your life and you know what to say and how to say and how to act, but you might not really be living it out. And I remember as I was sharing with them of how God redeemed us, I remember that I came to the final statement in that message I gave. And I closed that message with this, that you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the deeds that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithful or true. Just what is the gospel according to you? You see, people can tell if we're genuine or not. People can tell if we're allowing God to change our lives. People can tell whether or not our past is defining us. They're watching us. And if we've truly changed, and we've truly allowing God to be working in us and making us a new creation, people will sense that. They'll see it. And they'll wonder why we're so different. You see, that's what God's love is all about. A person really loves something or is very passionate about something, they just can't help to tell other people about it. I mean, think about it. When somebody buys a new car, do they just like take it and then let it sit in there? They go, hey, let me show you my new car I bought. Come on out to the parking lot. Let me show you what it can do. Let me show you the color of it. That when we get something new and we love it and we're passionate about it, maybe it's a hobby we have, we share it with other people. Do we do that when it comes to how we are made new in Christ again? Do we share that same passion, that same love that we might for a hobby or sport or for getting something new, whatever it might be, with others and let them know that they've been forgiven just as we are? See, Jesus wants to make an appeal to the world through us. He wants us to say that we all can be made new again through the power of Jesus. So Wednesday night, we had our first community meal, and it was great. We had about 25 people there, and it was a good time of just getting to know people. And the one thing that I've always struggled with when we do things like these community meals, and we do things like Hot Dog Saturdays or whatever it might be, that we do a lot of good things of outreach. And I always question myself, well, why is it that when we have like a breakfast downstairs, why don't the people come up to church? I mean, the service is right after that. And I've been asking myself that question for well over a year. And I didn't have an answer for that question. And I began to talk to a pastor mentor I've been meeting with, and we began to talk a little more about this, and he said, you know what? He's like, let me ask you one question. Are you building relationships with those people? He said, are you just giving them a lot of good things? Are you saying, hey, come for free food, for free breakfast, a free meal, free hot dogs, for free events? He's like, is that what you're doing? Because he said, anybody could do that. He said, any corporation can give out free food to anybody. He said, but are you building relationships to them? He's like, just because you do a meal or you do something for the community, They're not going to come just because you're doing something free for them. They're going to come to your church because of relationships that are being built with them. That when they're standing in line, that you're walking up to them and saying, "Hi, how are you? What's your name? Where do you live?" Getting to know people and building relationships with people. He said, that's how people are going to begin to come back to your church. He said, that's how you're going to see people that aren't just going to come for a meal and then leave. That they'll come back again each week because they'll say, you know what? This church cares about me. They cared enough about me to sit down and have a conversation with me. And then the next week when I came back, they did the same thing to me. And it made sense that all the good things we do here for the community, the one thing we're lacking is building relationships with people. Sitting down with them at tables. You know, the one thing that dawned on me is that we will say, you know what, can we have volunteers to help with the breakfast or volunteers to help with the dinner? And we'll say, you know, can you help serve or can you help cook? And you know, the one place that dawned on me that we never asked for volunteers for, which is probably the easiest place to volunteer at, is just to sit at a table and talk to people. That's it. And as I began to process it, I said, wow, that is probably the most important volunteer position that we could ever ask for at a meal for Wednesday night or for a breakfast or for whatever it might be that we do here is individuals. Just to volunteer, just to sit around tables, just to talk to people. Just to come and hang out with people. To hear their stories. To build relationships with them. To let them know they're important. To ask some questions. And begin to sink in that, yes, it's great that we need volunteers for cooking and serving. But what about volunteers for connecting and building relationships with people from our community to let them know how their lives can be changed? Wednesday night, met a guy by the name of Dwight. He was a Vietnam War veteran, and he's been living in Columbia for 77 years of his life. And I probably sat that entire hour just listening to his story of who he was, why he was here, why he might not come to church. And it was just interesting just talking to him. I didn't say a word. I just sat there listening to him. And then when the meal was over, he said, well, you know, thanks for having us. I'll see you next week. And I said, yes, we would love to have you. And by the way, we do have a service on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. But during that entire conversation, I didn't tell him about our ministries. I didn't say what we had to offer. I just listened to him and allow him to speak to hear his story. You see, that's what God's called us to do, is not just to offer a lot of things, but to build relationships and get to know the people that come and hear their stories so they can be renewed and redeemed. You see, that's what people are looking for. They are looking to know they're important and they're loved the same way that Jesus did when he went to the outskirts of people and spent time with them. I recently read an article about a company who came up with this really simple cake mix. It was simple enough that even I can make it without messing it up. And basically, it was this. Here were the instructions on how to use this cake mix. It was to add water to the mix. That was it. You add water to the cake mix, and you put it in the oven, you bake it. How simple can that be? Well, they thought this was going to take off and this product was going to sell tremendously and they're going to make lots of money from it. And all of a sudden, what they began to see is people didn't buy it. They didn't understand. Why are people buying this? You just add water to the cake mix. I don't get it. And so they did some thinking and some research and they rebranded it and they added something else to it. They said, add water and one egg to the cake mix. And what did they find when they said to add one egg to the cake mix? People began to buy it. It was selling like hotcakes. It was the hottest item the company has ever sold because people thought by just adding water was too simple. There had to be more to it than that. There had to be more to it than just adding water. But now if you say add an egg, well, yes. Now that makes sense because now you have to add something else to it to really make it a cake. And people bought it because they thought there was something else you needed to add to it. You know, I think that's how the truth of God is with our lives at times, is that we think it's too simple. that there's no way that God will just forgive my past. There's no way that God will just forgive me and make me new. No, there's got to be something more to it. There's got to be another ingredient that we have to add to it. It's too simple for God just to say he forgives us. And we begin to add things to it like saying, well, you need to be baptized in order to be a full Christian, or you need to take communion, or you need to become a member of the church, or you need to do all these other things to really fully be forgiven. And that's not what Scripture says. For John tells us that we are forgiven because God forgives us, no strings attached, and his love is unconditional. That no matter who we are, that we're all invited to offer that forgiveness and accept that forgiveness. That we're all invited to have our past wiped away and to have God make us new each day. So this morning, as we come together, I want us to all think about the aspect of, have we let go of our past? Are we still holding on to it? Are we allowing God every day to make us a new creation? And allowing his grace, as simple as it is, to renew us and transform us. And as we come and we sing our closing song this morning, Amazing Grace, let us think about those words. Let us think about how that we've been set free from our past. That our chains are gone. That we have been set free because of what Jesus has done for us, but we need to choose it, folks. We need to let go of our past, and we need to allow God to transform us and renew us. So this morning, would we stand together, and would we sing and embrace God's grace? And while the song is being sung, I'll be over here to my side. If anybody would like prayer for anything this morning, come on up, and I'll have prayer with you about anything as we sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace
My chains are gone.
Please be seated, and at this time, we're going to have a mission moment, and Melody is just going to come and share this morning.
Okay, so we have some exciting things to share with you, okay? So go in your mind back to the book of Joshua in the Bible, okay? In the Bible, we're told of God telling Joshua to get the Israelites ready to cross into the promised land, right? But to get there, there was a problem. There was the Jordan River between them, okay? And it seemed impossible. It seemed like an impossible task for them to get all the people across the river into the promised land that they were excited about living in. Now, these same Israelites were the ones that earlier experienced with Moses when God did a miracle for them crossing the Red Sea. Do you remember that? Well, God wants us to remember, as Pastor Tom was saying, remember our past and what he has done and the faithfulness that he's done for us so that we can use that faith for now in the church and for what he wants to do with our church in the future. So Joshua told the people to consecrate themselves, and because he said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you will do amazing things. Amazing things will be done among you. So the Lord told Joshua to tell the priests to carry, tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant to go and stand by the Jordan, but don't just stand there. He says to step into the Jordan and God will do a miracle. Right? He didn't say, go to the Jordan and look over at the promised land and say, boy, I really want to be there. Oh, that'd be great. You know, our church used to look like that. No, he told them it was an action to stand in the Jordan, and then the miracle will happen. So we're asking you now, we have a great opportunity as a church to take that step. And I ask you to take that step with us, stand in the Jordan, and watch the Lord do a miracle through you. So we're going to see some pictures up here of the meal on Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night. Now, we need your help. We need some people to help to prepare those meals. We need some people to, as Pastor Tom said, just come and have a meal with people. Find somebody you don't know and sit down and be a friend to them. You don't even have to talk church talk. Just be a friend and let them know that we love them and that they are welcome. There's various things. There's cleanup, different things that you can do. So Joanne Price, she's not here today because she's not feeling well, okay? But she will be the one, or you can talk to me as well if you're interested in helping with that. Now, Wednesday night, there were two little people that came. They were hanging out and running around. Little people, I'm talking about like five-year-olds, okay? And they enjoyed playing and hanging out with the youth group, with the teenagers. Well, the teenagers went to their class. And the one little guy said, where's my class? Well, that just touched my heart. And I'm like, well, we have to have something for the children. So we are going to start having a class for children ages 4 through 5th grade. So if you have any grandchildren, any neighbors, bring them along. They can have a free meal with us, and then I will be taking them to have a class. Now, I need help, and I'm asking you, will you step into the water with me and help me? This is all brand new. I just felt a burden that we need to do this, so now I need help from you. So as if you want to go the whole way from planning and organizing, or if you'd rather just like come and give a Bible story or do a craft or play a game with the kids, please let me know, okay? So I just wanted to give you that update on what's going on here at the church, and I really think that if we all do our part, that the Lord's going to do a miracle and you're going to see things change. Okay, thank you.
I think it's an exciting time because we relaunched your youth program back in August, and we're having a really good turnout with them. And so we're trying to relaunch not only the youth program, but our kids program, because that's been the one thing that, you know, families might not be coming to church for because there's nothing for their kids. And so that's what we're trying to do there. And we're also trying to have children's church also on Sunday morning. So if there's like two or three volunteers, if you're willing to help with that, I'll give you the materials. You can help be a volunteer or you can help lead. It's just one or two Sundays a month, nothing out of there. As well as trying to relaunch our intergenerational ministries that we once had here, with people of all ages coming together to really truly be a community. You see, there's two communities. There's this community, our church, and there's a community out there. But we're all a community. And so Wednesday nights is a way to try to connect this community with that community so we can build relationships with them. So we hope that you will join us and partner with us as we begin this new exciting ministry here at Command Methodist Church. We hope that you'll pray, if you can't help, that you will pray for the ministry and pray that God would bless the ministry and bring people to know Him through it all. Would you please stand to receive the benediction this morning? And so as we leave, may we leave going, knowing that God has forgiven our past, that it's gone. He remembers it no more. That each and every day that God renews us and transforms us, that each and every day God's love never fails. And so may God's love and God's peace go before you this week. Amen and amen. May you go in peace.